Hi there, my name is Isabel Stern. I'm 19 years old. It's March 25th, 2018, and I'm speaking with
Alexander Kim, who is also 19 years old.
Yes, we are friends, students, colleagues, and we are recording this interview in New Brunswick, New Jersey at the Rutgers University.
Yeah, the State University.
Or I guess I should say Rutgers University, the State University of New Jersey.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Alexander.
God, you're the marketing intern.
Okay. Thanks for sitting with me today, Alexander.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I'm excited to get started. So first, let's start off with how would you describe yourself to someone who has never met you?
Well, then I would just make myself sound as good as possible. I mean, tell them how good looking I am.
True. I can vouch for it.
Good, my worth. So... I don't know, I'd probably want them to know that I'm a really curious person, and that definitely shows a lot in my conversations and my interests. I've got like a lot of ideas in my head, like just like everyday things, you know, like I want to build an 8-bit computer one day, and the next day, let's go, you know, turn on a slip and slide down a hill or something, or like let's go hiking whenever we have the time, or if it's a Wednesday and I'm done with all my classes and the surf looks good, like I'll go out surfing too, and I'll bring you with me if you don't know how to swim. I mean, you're on a flotation device, so you'll be fine anyways. So yeah, I like to be spontaneous, or at least I like to think that I'm spontaneous. But yeah, I've also been stuck doing a lot of homework lately, so it's okay.
I hear ya. Yeah. What's your major?
Engineering.
What year are you?
I'm a freshman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of engineering you want?
Yeah, I almost positively set on chemical engineering at this point.
Okay, cool. Sounds like you've got big things coming in the future. We can get more to that later.
Okay.
But next, I'd like to know about your parents and what your life was like growing up.
My parents both came from Korea when they were 14 and 16. My mom was 14, my dad was 16. It's been a really good life. I never really, I never had to consider, like, what it was like being, like, first generation raised up in America, because it just felt the same as most others. My mom, like, always stayed at home with us. So, like, everything from karate to, I mean, I never took piano lessons, but my brother and sister did, to, I don't know, like, she would always take us out to the park, and, like, she would always have us doing something in the summer, whether it was her teaching us tennis or us going to some sort of class, like art or learning, science, or anything of the sort. So that was really good. My dad has always worked. I think he's worked his entire life. So as a child, I didn't used to see him too much, because he'd be at work from like 7 to 10 at night, like Sunday to Sunday, like the entire week. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was kind of absent feeling, but I also did have like an older brother and sister who were pretty much substitutes. I mean, I figure like parents are home, you don't spend the time with your parents that much anyways.
Okay.
So always with your siblings.
How much older are your siblings?
My brother's 5 years older and my sister's 4 years older.
Okay.
So, I'm a baby.
Okay.
And it's good.
Are you close with your dad now?
Yeah, I feel like close as close can be. You know, I mean, yeah, we have a pretty good relationship. And he's always telling me how proud he is of me for doing what I do. And I'm proud of him for doing what he did too. And I'm super grateful. So, yeah. I would say it's a good relationship.
And what about your mom?
Yeah, my mom, it's a little funny. It's also a good relationship now, more so than ever. But there was one point, I think junior year, I've always kind of been like the smarter one in the family. I can officially say that I am the most math-wise educated of everyone in my entire extended family as well. That's always kind of been my thing in the family. And junior year, I just wasn't feeling it. I got like a B+ on like AP language, and it was the most ridiculous thing. It was second marking period, and I remember because we were driving out from Virginia after we visited our cousin, or my cousin, and my mom looked at her phone and she started going off about how I was like a lazy bum. And yeah, because like they just never were used to this. So that kind of put like a little tension in our relationship. And I talked to her about it recently, actually, and she just laughed and she denied it. And I made her confront it. And she told me that it was just because she didn't think I was applying myself to the fullest.
Oh my gosh.
She thought it was funny. I guess it is kind of funny. But yeah.
Which I hear other people may or may not in your life have made comments about you not living up to your potential. Right?
What do you mean?
Didn't a teacher say that to you one or two times?
Oh, yeah. My AP Chem teacher, same year, junior year. I guess I just really wasn't applying myself that
point. What do you think about it? Do you think that you're living up to it? You were? You weren't? What are your thoughts on someone saying that to you?
You know, I think all things are relative. And my potential at that time was as much as it could possibly. Like, I don't think, like, anyone could have pushed me to study harder just because, like, I didn't want to. And, like, honestly, like, what was I doing? I mean, I probably wasn't doing it. I was probably just, like, watching TV instead. But, yeah, I mean, I do think that it was stupid to waste the time like that. But I don't, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, what, like, spending, I don't know, 40 or just, like, stressing about classes all the more for, like, a B+ or, like, 100 versus like an 85 on a chem test, like, I don't think that was like a big deal. And yeah, I never stressed about it too much. It was distressing when my mom made that comment, but I mean, it really was okay in the end. And yeah, I mean, I think that I'm definitely doing a lot better now. I'm more on top of my stuff here.
Cool.
And I'm focused and I'm working maybe a little bit too much. I don't know, I have some reconsidering to do. But
reconsidering
as in how I allocate my time.
Okay.
Yeah, like the past few days I've just been like studying and doing work for all these classes. So
what would you rather be doing?
What I'd rather be doing? Honestly, there's a really good book. Actually, it's really funny. It's a StoryCorps book that we got for free when David Essay came. And the book is actually really good. And I got through two parts. And I really want to continue, but I had an orgo exam this morning that I just missed a bunch of lectures for because I had other exams on the same day and I figured it was more important to study for those. And I did okay on this one too. So I'm just waiting to get back into that book.
Okay. All right. Good to hear. Now, what were you like as a child? What did you look like? And how did you spend your time?
I was chubby. I was really chubby, and I liked to eat. But more than that, I feel like I was just, like, a really quiet, more, like, observant child, especially with two older siblings. Like, they were always at each other's throats and never on the good side of my mom. So I would always, like, pay attention to the little things, like, how they would react to certain things, how my mom reacts, how... just, like, the dumb stuff they did. And I feel like I learned a lot that way. Yeah, and I was always kind of quiet. And I really loved Legos. And, or just anything in part, like, anything small that I could create with, like, I used to play with erasers. Like, not even, like, the big ones, just the ones, like, I pulled off of pencil tops. And that would give them superpowers or, I don't know. Yeah. I always played with my imagination,
That's
I think.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I like to be outside. Like, I think, like, one of my earliest memories was, like, when we used to live in our old house. Like, this is, like, the first house I ever lived in until I think I was maybe, like, 4 and a half. I guess it was really a kill jar, but my parents or my mom, or I don't know who gave it to me. I just remember I had this, like, little net and this little container thing that I was supposed to fill up. I think I was just supposed to put bugs in it and then they just died in there. But I filled it up with like soil and stuff and I poked holes and I'd go digging for worms and there was one time I was looking for worms and I saw like I just remembered like it was all fenced in my backyard and like it was really shady. I think the sun was like behind the house or on the front of the house, so I couldn't really see much of like sunlight. But I just remember looking up and seeing this monarch butterfly. I'm pretty sure it was a monarch butterfly. And it was like this orange butterfly that just like was shining the light when everything else was shady. And Yeah, that was one of my first memories. I think my mom was on like the steps leading outside, like reading a magazine or something. So yeah, I think I've always been more into like the nature, especially of anyone in my family. So like everything, I got like, scuba certified when I was 14. I learned how to surf by myself from like this dumpster board that I found. Ran cross country with my friends. We'd be in the park all the time. Like I could tell you every single route inside the trails. So yeah, that's how I spent a lot of my childhood.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. Oh, and any are you do you have grandparents that are have had an influence on your life or anything?
Yeah, so I mean, never knew my great grandparents, but or my mom's side really, like anyone. I think my mom was also like the youngest of seven, eight or something. So both her parents really died before I got to know them in any meaningful way. But on my dad's side, yeah, my grandpa, my grandma are still around. And yeah, I mean, you know, we never really talked to them too much. There was a little bit of a language barrier, I think. Like when I was younger, before kindergarten, pre-K, like I only spoke Korean. But like once I lost that and I stopped using so much, like it's been much harder to communicate. So more than just, you know, like study well, like eat right, you know, be happy. I don't get too much from them. But I mean, lately my grandma a few years ago was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So yeah, I mean, I don't think I've been spending as much time with her as I should be. But just the fact that like it happens to someone close to you and like you see the effects it has on them, like my grandpa, my parents. And just kind of like that, like just it just kind of made me reconsider what was important. So like I always remember like New Year's with them and Christmas and Thanksgiving, but yeah, I think more so than anything, it's like these past few years that have been the most where like where I've interacted with them, and like I'd go visit sometimes with my siblings, and yeah, and just like listen to my grandma. She used to never really talk too much. I think it was more sort of a cultural thing, or I don't know, like she'd always be in the kitchen. But now that she has Alzheimer's, I think she's kind of like, you know, like screw it. And she just, like, she'll just sit down and she'll be like, oh yeah, my shoulders are tired. And she'd ask somebody to massage it for her. And she would just talk about like all of, like the dumb stuff my dad and his brothers used to do when they were younger. So yeah, I think, yeah, it's really weird. In a sense, maybe it was a little liberating for her. But I mean, it's still really sad, but yeah, I think there are lots of lessons to learn just by watching her.
Wow. And switching gears back towards your growth and development, right?
Okay.
If you could give advice to your teenage self, what would you say?
I mean, I think I did an okay job of this growing up, but definitely don't be embarrassed like by anything. And I feel like especially in the school, like the town that I grew up in, everything was like homogeneous, and I was like maybe one of like eight other Asian kids that I knew. But yeah, I would tell myself not to be so embarrassed. Yeah, and I almost distinctly remember like it was, I guess, no, like just being curious as a child. Like I would always be like super excited about school and learning and stuff, or like I would ask my like I would be with my friends and just like, yeah, like wanna go hiking or something, and just like what, like no, like let's go bowling or something. Or I don't know, it's just like those like small things that kind of just made me feel out of place. And I just never really owned who I was, like not for a long, long time.
How long's a long, long time?
Like I would say,
College?
no, I by the end of senior year, I definitely like
Okay.
kind of didn't care. I feel like a lot of what was holding me back was just like the idea that I just had to stay and study. But like it was like that coupled with like didn't have friends who shared the same interests.
Okay.
And like feeling that I had to have these friends anyways, like people who played, I don't know, like wrestlers or baseball players or any, I don't know, like that, just like that idea of needing to fit in sort of a little more so. So yeah, by the end, I really didn't care. And if someone wanted to hang out with me, that was awesome. And I do have like one really good friend, like my best friend from high school, who was he's like a super amazing guy. And I could definitely do anything with him. Like we share really similar values. And it was like kind of like a developing friendship that wasn't super strong until a little while. But yeah, I mean, by the end of it, I really didn't care if, like, I don't know, like I would just leave school a little early and go, like, head out to the beach, even if it was just to, like, sit there. Like, yeah, during practice, like, for, like, track or whatever, after, like, a little while passed, I wouldn't go home, like, right away. Like, I would go get ice cream and just eat it by myself because we've got this one amazing place in town. And yeah, just like little things like that. So just go do it earlier and not to give yourself like the excuse of you didn't have a car because you lived in the suburban town where you needed a car.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, definitely could have gone around more. Just like live my life a little more. I spent a lot of time at home, I think, doing nothing. Okay. So that would be my biggest advice. Go out and do more.
Okay. All right. And now on the topic of high school, you did some pretty cool things in high school, based on what I know. Like particularly over your summers, there was some program that you took part in. Oh. Was that 1 or 2 years?
It was.
Could you tell us about that?
Yes. Yeah, so I guess this was after my freshman year of high school. This one guy from my church, he's I don't know, like an older man. His name is Dr. Kwan. Like, he told me about how his son went to this one, like, leadership camp over the summer. But it was, like, this international leadership camp that was this 8-week program, like, all expenses paid sort of thing. Just, like, meet different people from different societies who share different or the same cultural values and, like, see what they have to say about world issues and just like, even, like, smaller menial tasks, like building a bench even. And I don't know, I went there and I made some really amazing friends. And I feel like that was maybe a catalyst for me realizing that, you know, like there are some things that were more important than stressing over grades. I think from that camp, I took away like a lot of core ideas of like building with the community and just like being able to reach my own views and ideas, like expand my ideas and my mind by talking with other people who don't share the exact same values that I do. So that was really cool. Otherwise it was just like 60 boys, like all living together, showering together, all like in tents and like yes. Open showers. And like we would do yoga in the morning and like camp at night, make like outdoor fires all the time, cook in the kitchen with our chefs, and it was really fun. And we're in upstate New York on like this little patch of isolation and no phones or anything like that, and everything just felt like really genuine. And I think a lot of my like person skills came from that, in terms of like I just got the practice of like engaging people in a way that means more than just like the surface.
That's exciting. That's exciting.
Yeah, it was.
Is there anything else in like that like developing time of your like young adulthood that you think really like helped shape who you are today, or like events or specific experiences that like were really valuable to you in your teenage years?
You know, I think a lot of like who I am today comes from my brother. He always liked to share like his experiences and his views with me. And, like, as someone being 5 years younger than him, like, I wasn't forced to listen to them. But, like a lot of what he did tell me, like, I kind of took to be, like, truth. But at the same time, I do feel like I did have a mind for myself. And like whenever he said something that I just thought was like stupid, I would kind of disregard and just like let him talk on. But yeah, I mean, we had a lot of like good times together, and like we would just do different things. Like we learned like jiu-jitsu together off of these videos that, like, for anyone who's not familiar, jiu-jitsu is like the martial arts of, I guess, like ground fighting or grappling. And it was kind of like pioneered by this Gracie, like by the Gracie family. So yeah, anyways, the Gracies came out with like this video series, and we'd watch it at home and we'd do it. We'd watch like UFC fighters, and we'd watch like jiu-jitsu competitions. So like we took a lot of those principles together, and like if it wasn't for him, I definitely would have done any of those things or like developed any sort of discipline. Because as a child, I kind of just let myself indulge in whatever, whether it was video games or eating or just like staying outside for way too long with my friends playing football or something. So like a lot of good things came out of that. And also like there were the like moments where he did fight, especially once I started getting older, and he did as well. And that kind of just really helped me like push myself into thinking of like what I did think life was supposed to give to us. Because he would always go for those big, heavy questions. But also just seeing that like my perceptions as like a 15-year-old aren't at all like what I'm gonna be stuck with for the rest of my life. And just seeing how like things change, and you know, like realizing that even though I thought he was dumb at some moments, he isn't. It just like I just the thing that brothers say, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just moving from that to realizing that like there were things that I should have definitely listened to him about, and that I shouldn't be as arrogant as I am. And yeah, I think a lot of that was shaped by him. He also definitely helped me and pushed me to do more. Yeah, when I found the surfboard, I was actually with my brother, and I was like looking out at the waves, and I was like, man, like it would be really cool to just be able to surf. And living in New Jersey, I've never seen anyone surf before, and I didn't think it was even possible on the New Jersey coast. But yeah, I think, you know, he went to go get food, and I was just like sitting on the beach, and he was like, all right, like come on, Alex, like let's go. I was like, what? Like I'm just lying down, like I don't want to leave yet. He's like, yeah, no, we're not going, like just come with me. And he comes and he takes me to like this one dumpster, and like outside of the dumpster is just like this big like 10-foot foam top board that's like sitting there, and he's like, do you want it? I was like, I don't really know. He's like, I mean, you said you wanted to surf, didn't you? I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, come on, like help me take it out then. So he climbed in, pushed it out for me, and I took it. He bought me twine as like an ankle leash, thinking that it'd help me not lose a board. But twine is like rope, and when you get salt water in it and it's like wrapped around your ankle, it just becomes bad. So yeah, there are a lot of things to learn at the first moment. God. But
I wouldn't even think of that.
Yeah, like we live 45 minutes away from the shore. And I think that was like the summer right before he went to college.
Okay.
And yeah, he dedicated like a lot of time to just take me out to the water and like letting me do my thing and learning. And yeah, like by the end of that summer, I was able to get up and I was riding, and I tried to teach him, but he was scared of the water to an extent. I don't know. I think he was just scared that like shark would get him or something. He okay. never quite overcame that fear.
Was it hard when he left for school, and did he go far away or was he close?
Yeah, I do think it was hard. I didn't really perceive it like that at the time, but he went to Boston. He went to Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Okay.
So it was like 5 or 6 hours. Like he'll only come home on breaks. And yeah, like I did have my sister at home, but like I don't think she was ever really the one that I would go and like, you know, like chop down a tree with to try to build a bow and arrow or anything of the sort. So I think like the pace of my life did slow down a lot then. But I do think that was probably beneficial, because like it took me a decent amount of time to just like recalibrate myself from like, this is what it feels like when you have someone else next to you like motivating you to like, you know what you need to do, and it's about time that you just got up and did it. So yeah, it was pretty hard. But for the better, I think.
Okay. And Yeah, are there any negative events or memories that you want to share that you think like have really shaped who you are today, or any more positive ones along with your brother?
Yeah, I guess in terms of negative, there was like one like really low point in a relationship where he graduated, but like he wasn't really taking on like any like major related jobs. Like he was in there for professional music and he graduated and everything, but then like he was like working at like nightclubs and stuff and like not really sure where he wanted to go with it yet. And I think he needed an operation. Like he had like an inguinal hernia, so he needed to get an operation for that, so he came back home for it. Yeah, and it was just like really stressful, because I think at that point I had like acclimated to not having him like trying to push me to do these different things. And you know, like as like a 21, 22 year old, like pretty much ready to go and live life and be on his own, it was just like really weird having him around. And I even remember like senior year wrestling, like wrestling practice went to like 6:30, and it was like something that I got pretty into, and like I was like pretty dead, like pretty dedicated towards just doing for the sake of doing, like sticking with it. Like I always like prided myself on like I've never quitted like sports, or like never gave up on a class or like an after school activity or anything in general. And yeah, I just like remember when he came back, he was like, oh, like I'm back, and like you're not spending all this time with me, and like it's like I'm still away to you, sort of a thing. And I remember telling him that like it would probably be better if he was away. And that was just like a really, really I really hate myself for having said that. I'm at a lot of moments. But yeah, that also kind of just put into perspective again of like what was important. And yeah, like I ended up quitting the wrestling team because he was only back for I don't know how many more months, and he had just gotten his surgery. So I was spending that time with him. But of course, like there was like, it was way different after I'd said that. So that was definitely something more painful that I'd reconsider.
Do you think you still feel the effects of that today in your relationship with him?
Yeah, it's not the same as it used to be. I mean, it's kind of like I wouldn't expect it to be the same as it was in the first place, just because we're like two entirely different points in our life now. I think his life philosophy changed a bunch. I wouldn't say that he used to be naive, but he always used to be the like, oh, like if only you work hard enough. And yeah, I think coming back, he kind of lost a lot of that. But yeah, I mean, he's going to Korea now in a few months, or actually in like a month, to go teach there. So I've been spending as much time with him as I could, like being at school and all.
Okay.
And yeah, it's getting better, and it's good. It was a learning thing, and yeah, I'm just grateful to have him in my life.
Okay. And on a different note, a more positive, upbeat note, can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
One of my happiest memories. Yeah. Okay, so my girlfriend and I took a road trip like the summer going into college.
Not to interrupt, but can you give us some backstory?
Okay, right, sorry. So my girlfriend, I met her from the same camp that I went to after freshman year. And of course, like it was a guys' camp and a girls' camp. So I don't know. I think I saw like the boys' camp met the girls' camp all three times, and I didn't once speak to her then, but I did speak to her friend from Finland. And like when a friend from Finland came, she went to Colorado, where my girlfriend is from, to visit her, and she was gonna come to New York to stay with another camper from Peru who lives here, but I guess like she kind of flaked and went back to Peru and said, sorry, I can't be there, so you can't actually stay with me. And she just needed somewhere to go for her visa. So I was like, yeah, like you can come stay with me. So Olivia, which is my girlfriend's name, and I started talking, and that kind of started things off. And it was like kind of died down, but like right into senior year, started things up again, and yeah, entered a relationship and have been going strong ever since. So this summer we took a road trip from New Jersey to California, basically. Half of it was on a bus, but the other half was in our car. And we drove through, we were in Utah, and it was, I think, the Perseid meteor shower. So we went to sleep because we were tired, because we'd driven, I don't know, it was like a 17-hour day for us. And we went to bed, and we woke up at like 4, and we're in like this little two-person tent, and we're just like looking up at the stars, like looking for like falling stars or shooting stars. And like there were a bunch, and it was like 5. We had to make it to like California by 3 so that we could check into our hotel on time. So we just like went to go take a shower. And in Utah and like most other like southwestern western states, like you have to pay for the water use at like public parks. So it was like a quarter for 15 minutes, I think. So we tried it, and like this is like right by Salt Lake. So like we tried the showers, and like none of the showers were working. So I mean, we figured like we just stopped wasting quarters because we were burning through them like twice as fast as the two of us. And so like we just like decided to go to like the outdoor showers. And Utah is like a pretty arid state, and it's like 40 degrees right now. And we're just like, you know, forget it, like we're just gonna do it. So we start showering, and it's still pretty dark, and like the sun is starting to rise, and we're like, okay, like we're all done with the shower, like we just like wrap our towels around us, get in the car, and like she turns on her headlights, and we just see this bush start to move. And we're like, what? And it just gets up, and it kind of turns around and looks at us, and it's a bison that was maybe like 20 meters away from where the outdoor shower was. We're like, whoa, okay, so that happened.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but just the entire part, it was really nice. And yeah, and like the day, like it got warm, as the sun came up, like it almost started to warm immediately as we were like driving out of the island that we were on. And yeah, it felt magical.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
what a great story. And can you tell me about some of the most important lessons you've learned from these experiences that you're giving me? Like all of your trips, all of your journeys, all your relationships.
So
any really big takeaways?
I think my biggest lesson in life yet is like I'm more of a relaxed person, and I don't prioritize all too much. And that also means like I don't always feel the sense of urgency to go and do work. Well, it's like I used to not, but in terms of like everything that happened with, you know, like just managing school to my relationship with my brother, and even like this road trip took so much planning. And also like during that same summer, I worked at an SAT tutoring center, and it was like the first year in operation, and they didn't really have anything set up. So I created like the entire curriculum. It was like an hour away, like right underneath like the George Washington Bridge. So I would drive up like an hour each day. I was basically with like the commuter traffic in the summer. And like just organizing myself and like just getting myself up out of the bed or out of the chair to go do what I needed to do in time has probably been like something that I've learned the most. And also that, yeah, like it's really important to to recognize what is important. And like sitting at home and just relaxing during your summer vacation isn't half as important as like making sure that like I'm keeping up with my relationships, and that I'm like being responsible for this like job that I've taken on, and like coming to school now too, like what is the cost of like playing a game of ping pong even for studying, and just trying to like balance all of that has definitely been my greatest challenge, for my personality anyhow. But it's been my greatest lesson, I think. Was that the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome. And then tell me about your proudest moment. What are you proudest of personally and professionally in your life, if you want to talk about this future thing you got cooking too, we can go into that next. But I want to hear about your proudest moment.
All right, I get my proudest moment, honestly, is probably the moment that I stood up on the surfboard. Because that was like something wild. And like, that was like, I feel like that was a moment that started my like my self learning, I guess you could say. Because I got up, like I got out there, like first of all, paddling out is not easy, even in baby waves. So like you'll just be swimming, and if you're not swimming hard enough, like the smallest of waves will just turn you around and send you straight back to shore. And I knew nothing starting. Like I hadn't even watched surfing videos. I didn't understand the sport. I didn't understand like the mechanics of it. But like it was like 2 days of like sitting out on the water for 8 to 10 hours. Like my brother would just like drop me off on Sundays and go and do his own thing and then come back in a little while and hope that I hadn't drowned or something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like seriously. So yeah, just like learning how to do that, like I felt like that was another thing that kind of felt embarrassing. You know, like I'm sitting out there on like this like really big foam board, like basically flailing in the water, and there are these other guys and gals who are just out there like on these like sleek boards, and they're just sitting there and they're just like watching me, kind of like what the hell's going on here? And I had to bring myself to just go up to them and like ask them like what am I supposed to be doing? And just from like those things and just like trying over and over and over again, and like catching a wave isn't easy, I've learned, but like the struggle of like constantly just like swimming after a wave and then having it pass right underneath you and then having to turn around to so that you can go back to the same place that you were so that like the waves don't crash on top of you is like something that I feel like really had to take, like that did require a lot of grit on my end. And like not even knowing like where to stand or how to go and just trying to figure it out for myself and eventually like accomplishing that, I think was like a really big thing for me. And like a lot of that was aided by like I would go home and I just like look up a video like how to tell like where to sit to catch a wave. And like I realized like YouTube is an amazing teacher and there are so many resources available to me. So things like electronics and I don't know, like generators and different things, I've learned a lot through like just like YouTube videos. And I've started getting into like reading papers, and now I think what you're alluding to is my summer research, which I've been researching on YouTube and through papers. So yeah, I think that like that whole beginning with like teaching myself how to surf was really big.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not something that like somebody that's never surfed before would think of.
No, not at all.
Until it's explained.
And it's even the smallest things. Like, I didn't realize why people wore shirts out into the water. I thought they were just like embarrassed of their body. And I was like, I'm not embarrassed. Like, I'll just go out. And I came back that first day. It was like, I was maybe out there for like 6 hours. And I sat down in the car and I'm just like spent. And I'm like slashing like in the car seat, and like the AC is blowing on us because it's 94 degrees outside, and like it's like rippling through my shirt, and I'm just like hurting. I'm like, what is going on right now? So I take my shirt off, and my nipples are like rough, like raw.
Oh my god.
And scabbing because the wax on the board just peels it away. So there are a lot of little things to learn.
And oh my gosh, so kind of to close out, right?
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to be remembered?
How would I like to be remembered?
Any legacy you'd like to leave?
You know, daffodils are.
Oh, you like daffodils.
No, I'm just kidding. I think I just want people to like remember moments, and like a big part of me was always scared of dying. And it was, I think my AP Lit class in high school, like introduced me to like a lot of different literature. And like I started to like realize the value. And like one of the things was basically like, you know, like you're never really gone. As long as like your thought lives on, like amongst other people. So just, you know, people to remember their moments with me. And even if I don't accomplish anything significant, or if I don't change the world like I want to, even if I just like have changed like someone's life in the way that like they go about doing things and thinking, like I think that's like changing the world enough for me. And yeah, just for someone to like hold on to me, not in the sense of like grieving or anything, but just like remembering. And if I've influenced their life in a little way, you know, because like everyone takes and gives a little bit from everyone they meet. So if anyone has taken anything away from me, then I think that's good enough for me.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing everything in this interview today,
thank
Alexander.
Thank you for interviewing me, Isabel.
Yes. So I guess, yeah, I guess this is the end of the interview.
Yeah. It's a sad time.
We've learned a lot. We've learned a lot today. Thank you, Alexander.
Of course.
Catch us online. I'll be sending it to Alexander's grandkids in like, I don't know, whatever, 80 yeah. years.
Let's hope the world is still around then.
Yeah, I know. Okay, anyway, thank you. Thank you all. Good night.
Good night.